Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to all of you this morning. Shocking start for the morning. Our special thanks to Juliana DeMontney, who has been playing for us some cello, and she will be playing later in the service also. So look forward to that again. And thanks to the bells. That did sound good, even the last clunk. Normally, I'm going to have some announcements at the end of the service, but I just want to make certain that you are aware that at the end of the service today, the Buffalo Bulletin wants to take our picture. And so please don't rush out at the end of the service. I'm not sure where he's going to come from or where he's going to be, but he'll tell us what to do. Let's see, I have so many announcements. I might as well make it clear right now. It has pleased Almighty God in His infinite wisdom to call Dan Culpepper from this life, and we want to remember him in our prayers and his family. And I'll make another announcement about that at the end of the service. Let's begin our worship by standing and turning to the brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the church and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
At this time, we'll have a brief introduction to the hymn of God of Grace and God of Glory.
It is wonderful to see what a diversity of people God has used to bring music to his church. Harry Emerson Fosdick, one of the leaders of the liberal Protestant movement in the 20s and 30s, was denounced by many conservatives, some of whom now sing the hymn he wrote. In 1930, a new building for the Riverside Church in New York City was dedicated. This hymn was sung as a dedicatory hymn. It is a prayer of dedication that can be uttered any day. Some days in our lives are obvious turning points: a church dedication, the birth of a child, a wedding, a funeral. Rededication of our lives, but every day has its crucial moments. The prayer of our hearts should constantly be, grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. Thank you. This was on the seventh day of the seventh month. He read from it, facing the square, before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 19 responsively in your bulletin. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork.
One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world.
In the deep has he set a pavilion for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, and he is light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired than the hay or gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb.
By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can tell how often he offends? Cleanse me from my secret faults.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not dominion over me. Then I shall be whole and sound and innocent of great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
The second reading is from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The apostle and pastor Paul uses the metaphor of the human body to describe how intimately connected we are in the church. For this struggling congregation in Corinth, Paul delivers a vital message of unity that is the mark of the church today. For just as the body is one and has many members, all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear would say, Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less of a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this, but God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do we all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But for the strife, for the greater gifts, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Children to come up.
Good morning.
Well, how many of you have hands? You have two hands. Do you need both hands? You think we could put one away? How about, how many ears do you have? If you have two ears, could you give me one of your ears? No? What would happen if instead of having a nose, you had just an ear? What would happen?
You have to find a nose from someone.
You have to borrow somebody else's nose. Yeah, I agree. You couldn't smell flowers without a nose, could you? No. And you wouldn't be able to... What?
But you will definitely get a feeling.
Yes, you would get a feeling. Well, if you were all one nose, a hearing, yes. Well, in our lesson that was just read, everybody... every part of the body is important. Your big toe and your little toe are both important. Did you know, they told me that in one of the wars, somebody chopped off their toe just so they didn't have to go into the army. And that kept them out. Because you have to have all your toes to run fast. Do you have all your toes? Yeah, good. And it's the same way with the church. The church, Paul says, is the body of Christ. And every part of it is important. Let's see, can you preach? You can't preach? Can you sing? You can't sing? Your sister can sing, right? All right. Can you play bells? Chimes? She can play the piano. Can you play the piano? Not yet. Are you going to learn? Okay, great. Well,
We only have one piano player who plays the piano for us. But today we even have a cello player who plays. And all of those are really important. So God made each of us and gave us each certain gifts. What do you think you do best? Tell them. What do you do best?
TV.
You watch TV. Okay. How about you? What do you do best?
Play the piano.
Play the piano. Fantastic. See, each of us does something really good. And that makes us all part of the same body. Isn't that neat? Why don't we say thank you, God? Shall we? Thank you, God, for giving us arms and hands and feet and ears and nose and a head. Thank you for giving us talents so that we can play piano or sing or watch TV. Bless us, Lord, so that we can bless others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You can have a seat. The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, being tempted by Satan and fasting, Luke tells us, then Jesus came back to Galilee, and a report spread throughout that country about him. He preached in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown, the town he grew up in. And he went to the synagogue, as was his custom on the Sabbath day. And he stood up, and the attendant handed him a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened it and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he rolled up the scroll and handed it to the attendant, and then sat down to preach. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That's the good news, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I'm pretty good at standing up and doing the gospel, but I'm not as good at sitting and preaching. But that was the custom in the day when Jesus is there, and in fact in many Jewish synagogues today, or in their when they gather for worship. That's the way it's done. They stand up to read the scriptures, and they sit down to hear to preach. The important thing for us to keep in mind is that Jesus is reminding them of what the prophets have said. Some of you have been to Europe, and you probably know that these huge cathedrals, they have a pulpit that is not up front the way ours is. In fact, it would be these cathedrals were so large that if it was, nobody in the back would be able to hear them. And so the pulpit was kind of like in the middle of the wall going back. And the preacher would climb, go up, during the preaching would go up there. And it's high and lifted up so that if you're sitting there,
Under the pulpit, you just about have to lean over backwards, and you get a neck ache just watching the preacher. In my home congregation, St. Luke's in Stanton, Nebraska, we had a pulpit that was kind of based on that. It was an old German congregation. The church itself was no larger than this building, but the pulpit was up. Besides being up three steps to the chancel, there were also three steps into the pulpit. Now, when they built a new church, they had to cut off one of the steps to the pulpit so that it's not quite as high. But they misjudged something, and if they kept that step, the preacher would hit his head on the ceiling. But you probably have heard about the seminary student who was sent to a small church with a pulpit like that. They had warned him that it was a little bit wobbly and to be very careful. And he began his sermon. It was the first Sunday in Advent, and he began the sermon with, "Behold, I am coming." Well, he lost his place. And so he says, "Behold, I am coming." And then just for emphasis, he says, "Behold, I am coming." He leaned forward and the pulpit fell over. And he tumbled out and landed right in the lap of a little old lady in the front row. And he apologized profusely. And she said, "Don't worry about it, honey. You warned me three times." Well, how many warnings does it take? Through the centuries, God's people have needed lots and lots of warnings. Going back as far as the book of Joshua, if you read through the book of Joshua, it's almost like reading a broken record, a record that is stuck, because it's the same pattern over and over again that follows all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament and even into today. The people did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord allowed an enemy to capture them or to put them down. The people prayed to the Lord, and the Lord sent a judge or a military leader to help them. And then they had 40 years or a multiple of 40 years of peace. And you'd think, now they've learned, right? No, it starts all over again. In fact, this pattern, just different names, different places, but the same pattern again and again and again. God keeps trying to get people to understand, and they forget His word. They forget His story. In fact, as we create our history, we have to remember His story. And history is really important. But we can either dwell on our history or build for our future. As somebody in our transition team pointed out, it's important that we look at our history as being historically important, but that we use it as a guidepost for the future and not a hitching post that holds us back. So I'm happy. If you haven't had a chance to look at the wall back in the fellowship hall, Lois has done a fantastic job of putting down our history in a beautiful, succinct way. It's well worth reading. But what we need to do now is move beyond where we were to where we need to be, always keeping in mind what God wants of us. Remember that the prophets were sent to remind the people again and again and again. Isaiah was one we've been reading a lot about, who warned the people that if they didn't change their ways, God was going to allow an enemy to take them into exile, which happened. They ended up in Babylon for 50 years. And at the end of that, they were able to return. Our first reading today from Nehemiah tells the story of Ezra calling the people back to God's word. Nehemiah, by the way, was the one who became the administrator of the city, rebuilding the outer part, the walls of the city. Ezra was the priest who was called in to bring about a renovation of the spiritual lives of the people. And Ezra proclaims the word of the Lord and says, there is much to hope for, but we really have to get our act together. We can't continue this cycle again and again of making the same mistakes over and over again. We need to look forward to what God wants of us for our future. And that's what God is calling us to do. Sometimes over the years, as I read our history, it looks like we've become discouraged at times. And that happens to every church I've ever been in. Those times when it just seems like, are we ever going to make any progress? Well, there's a song. Surprise. Surprise, I know. But there is a song that you know the words to it, but I'm going to change the words. And since I'll sing the refrain the first time through, and then you'll catch on. There is a balm in Buffalo to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Buffalo to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Buffalo to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Buffalo throughout the centuries. And as Jesus comes on the scene, he reminds the people again of what God is calling us to do too. He calls us to be his body in the world. Paul tells us that we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. There's not just one part of the body. Each of us has a skill, a talent, an ability that he calls upon us to use. Now, we can sit back and let everybody else do it. But you know what? What would happen if you just put your arm behind your back and left it there for the rest of your life? I suppose you could get by without it. There are some people who do live with one arm. Or your foot, or your eye, or your whatever. God calls upon every part of the body of Christ to live as the body of Christ. Not sitting back, letting everybody else do it, but learning from our history that God has a purpose for us, and that God calls us to be his body, not just here in worship, but out there in the world. May we be the ones
who lead others to discovering their full potential as children of God and fellow heirs in the kingdom of God. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Actually, I did pretty good sitting here.
He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Are there people or concerns for which you would like to pray today?
For Zach.
Loretta.
And Loretta.
Vicky.
My brother Jim.
Jim. This
Jenny.
Daniel
and Mary. My brother and sister.
Fred.
Our church. We pray for the church, empower bishops, pastors, deacons, teachers, evangelists, and all members of Christ's body with your Spirit. Open our hearts to hear your word of life and respond in lives of service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
For the earth, for all creatures of the land, air, and water. Heal environments damaged by disaster or pollution. Make us wise stewards of all you have entrusted into our care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the nations, liberate us from captivity to fear and ways of violence. Free those who are unjustly imprisoned and those who are imprisoned for working for freedom. Give us vision to seek the pathways of peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those in need, rescue those who suffer abuse or neglect. Bring an end to hunger and greed. Accompany those who are alone or vulnerable. Comfort those who grieve and all who are ill. We pray especially for Zach, Loretta, Vicky, Jim, Jenny, Daniel and Mary, Fred, and especially for St. Luke's. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For this assembly, bless those who proclaim your word and those who teach. Bless those whose talents are not recognized, and teach us to honor the gifts of all your people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With thanksgiving, we remember those who have gone before us in faith, especially Dan Culpepper.
Nova Simon Sifo.
Wipe away all tears and bring us with them into the joy of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace. Thank you.
Oh, there's my boy.
You remember?
By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to the nations, In the waters of the Jordan you proclaimed him your beloved Son, and in the miracle of water turned into wine he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy,
salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
stand as you are able. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll take the
I'm sure she's going to